Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. That's right, the world will not get better if we let it be. We gotta change it, you and me. We'd like to welcome you to a special program. Today we decided to do a little different format than usual. What we want to do is give you the time. We'd like to hear the people speak as related to our theme today. Our theme today is Donald Trump and the presidency. We want to know what you all think about the last 4 months. What has the last 4 months looked like? We would like for you to think about these following questions, and we'd like for you to call in and fill in your missing pages of history as it relates to Donald Trump and the presidency. These are the questions for our listening audience. We'd like to hear your comments. The first question is, what is the state of the union? History is being made right now in the presidency. What are you thinking about when it comes to this presidency? And how has it affected your state, your family, and your pocketbook? Question three, what is your position on Donald Trump's position on withdrawing from the International Peace Accord on climate change? Question number four, many people feel that Donald Trump is there only to do one thing, and that is to undermine Obama's legacy, particularly in the areas of healthcare, Cuba, the TPP trade agreement, etc. What is your position on that? Question number five, under his administration, Mr. Jeff Sessions is calling for a new war on drugs. What does this mean? And is it any different from the own war on drug policy? And the last question is, when you think about the president family, does it really seem dysfunctional? what you think about the president family and its relationship to the White House. We'd like to hear your views, your comments on these questions, and we entertain Donald Trump and the presidency. What do you think about it? We're going to be taking questions at the beginning of the program, which we'll start right now. We'll ask for our listening audience to call in and give their views and their perspectives on this issue. And the number to call in is 818-337-0016. 818-337-0016. Now, when you call in, please hit 1. When you hit 1, we will acknowledge your last four numbers in your phone. Please hit 1 and acknowledge your last four numbers. So I see we have some callers lined up. We have some people who have something to say about Donald Trump and the presidency, and we'd like for them to address some of these questions. What do they think? At this point in time, we're going to start off with caller number 6029. Caller number 6029. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Caller, what is your thoughts on this whole question, Donald Trump and his presidency, and what do you think about some of the questions that we raised at the beginning of this program?
Well, my personal position is that, you know, Donald Trump's presidency has more to do with behind-the-scenes politics than anything else. Then one of the things that when we talk about democracy and we talk about a free flow in terms of ideas, one of the things we have to be very clear on is that those in power have a vested interest in ensuring that the political process is reflected in such a way that they continue to benefit. And so, therefore, it behooves them to have a leader in position of power who can not only increase the benefits to that group, but also to get the masses of people to accept the fact that the system flowing smoothly. So I think to a large extent, Donald Trump is a figurehead for those who are powerful who serve their interests. I think one of the things when we talk about in terms of his callousness, his lack of regard for humanity, I think we'll be very clear that those individuals, those electors who elected Donald Trump as the president of the United States knew all along that John Donald Trump was not only ill-suited in terms of the president of the United States, but in fact that he's very antithetical to the interests of poor people in the society. And so therefore they knew that his policies reflect the desire of the ruling class in terms of more power for them, more control, more wealth. So I think everything he does is geared toward empowering the 1%. So this is the fundamental problem in terms of Donald Trump. So all the things that you lay out, whether you talk about the dysfunction in the family, whether you talk about his social programs, or whatever you talk about, is all geared toward one thing that's very clear, that whatever he does is always to the benefit, you know, of the 1%. So when we talk about him, particularly in his family, we talk about Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, who has no experience whatsoever in terms of, you know, international affairs, but yet he's the most powerful people in the White House. And clearly the kind of nepotism that exists when it comes to the Trump White House doesn't bode well in terms of the aspirations or the future of the country. So we understand that Donald Trump is simply a figurehead, and I think I'll close with that.
Carla, for your close, let me just raise a couple issues with you in terms of as a citizen of this country. Do you find it very rare that following the Barack Obama administration that we got someone in the White House seems to be totally contrary, totally opposite when it comes to expectations, when it comes to being very skillful in terms of articulation, when it comes to being very thoughtful in terms of thinking through processes? Do you think this was a mistake or this was something designed to really, again, undermine the following of a first-time African president in this country?
No, I think it was calculated. I think one of the things that Barack Obama's mandate was to get in to convince people that, in fact, change was possible. Of course, we understand that no real change is possible from a systemic point of view as long as the 1% position is that they should benefit at all costs. So clearly his presidency had nothing to do in terms of the empowerment of the masses of people in the society. Donald Trump, let me go back to Obama, having completed, you know, that mandate in terms of pacifying the people, now the ruling class is free to move forward in terms of more regressive policy in terms of, you know, particularly when it comes to socioeconomic policy. And so therefore, Donald Trump has his own mandate. His own mandate is to solidify the power of the 1% and to show that everything from this point on out is going to be totally to the benefit of the 1%, even to the extent that this kind of injustice in the face of, right, lies in the face of the people. It's very, very clear that they want people to get the message once and for all that there is no democracy, that in fact the 1% run this. And so therefore, anything that smacks of socialism, anything that smacks of caring for the people is to be shunned. So I think that is the mandate of Donald Trump in terms of what his president is all about.
Okay, caller, I'd like to thank you. Welcome to the 10-Minute Program, and we may bring you back on later on. We thank you for calling, caller. Again, this is Missing Pages in History. Like always, we're doing this particular program because there's a lot of discussion around this presidency, how does it really relate to you as a citizen, how it's maybe having an impact on the world, and something different that people have never seen before outright. Individual who is functioning the way that Donald Trump is functioning under this particular presidency. So we'd like to have your views, your comments, your calls. I call in at 818-337-0016. And when you call in, please hit 1 if you have a question, comment, and your knowledge, the last 4 numbers. The earlier we stated that some of the questions would be interesting getting your response to is, to you, if you had described the state of the union today, who would it be? This whole question of the history of being made or being functioning as a president, what do you think about this whole question of how it's impacting on your state, how this presidency is impacting on your family, his pocketbook? What is your position on Donald Trump recently withdrawing from this International Peace Accord on climate change? You know, these are some of the issues. So the question is for his family. His family members and relatives holding certain positions as it relates to carrying out foreign policies. What is your make? What is your take? What do you think? Do you really think Donald Trump is trying to undermine the legacy of Barack Obama, former president of the United States? We'd like to hear your views and your callers. Okay, we're going to our next caller. We have another caller online. Caller, welcome to Mr. Page of History. What do you make of Donald Trump and the presidency right now? Caller number 4298, caller 4298. Your missing pages of history. Request your comment.
Yes, you said, what do I think of what did you say?
What do you think about the presidency of Donald Trump? How he's performing his first 4 months, the issue of, been the issues that he has raised. Like, for one, the role that his family is playing as related to carrying out certain policies in this country. And so, question him withdrawing from the climate change accord agreement, etc. There are many issues and questions that people have raised in terms of his close relationship with so-called Russia. What is your take on this whole issue of Donald Trump and his presidency?
Yeah. Well, obviously, he's for big business. He keeps talking about make America great again, which means empower the 1% to make more money and hopefully it will trickle down to the workers who work for them. He's you know, America first, totally chauvinist, and he has no interest whatsoever in socialism or anything to do with empowering the average working citizen. He's strictly big business. For the money makers, the corporate structure, to make money, and that's all I see going on. I mean, he's trying to clear the way of the climate change means, like, there's going to be regulations, and he doesn't want to enter into that Paris Accord because he doesn't want any regulation to impede the ability to make money at the expense of the climate. And the mass of people. And that's all I see going on. Thank you.
Okay, caller, like, thank you. Awesome. You know, we'll put you on hold. You're welcome to come back later on. We thank you for your call again. This is Missing Pages of History. And today we're doing a discussion on Donald Trump and his presidency. What do y'all think of the first 4 months? What do you think about some of the issues, some of the decisions that he has made that maybe impacting on you personally, or impacting on your state, or the impact it's having on the perception of the world, how they view this particular country, and how they view this government. We'd like to have your call. We'd like to hear your opinion by calling in at 818-837-0016. If you have a view or comment, please hit number 1, and we will acknowledge your last 4 number. If you have any views or comment, please hit number 1. Right now, this is Mr. Page of History, and like always, we have an analyst, a historian, and a contributor. Emmanuel, we'd like to bring Emmanuel on right now. And Emmanuel, as always, we'd like to welcome you to Mr. Page of History. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Emmanuel, you have at least one perspective, 2 perspectives so far on how people view Donald Trump and his presidency. From the question you raised earlier, and you are raising for this program, for the audience to chime in on, number 1, in general, what do you think, what is the state of the union? And when we talk about history being made right now in the presidency, what are you thinking about when it comes to this presidency? How it has affected your state, your family, and your pocketbook?
Well, as an analyst, the first caller, I did to everything he said. The first caller is well informed. He hit all the nails on the head. He didn't bend one nail. He nailed everything. All I can do is add to him basically was that Donald Trump's run his presidency like a private business. That's how he's doing it, bringing in nepotism, appointing people from Wall Street at 1%. And again, how can they fill their pockets? He has been a disaster. He has been a tremendously disaster. He is the worst president for the first 4 months we ever had. His presidency is very idiotic. He's not informed. He really don't care about the American people. He wants to make America great again. He is the one that's running America into the ground. The Paris Accord, he's basically saying 195 countries are stupid. That's what he's saying. He don't want to clean up the air. He wants coal. He wants the 16,000 coal workers back in to do what? Don't nobody use coal. Who uses coal to do what? His presidency has been unachieving. We knew this when we elected him because to the electoral votes, which is he got elected because of gerrymandering. That's how he got voted. And he played to the public's uneducated, basically, the red states, the rural areas. He played to them. And you know who they are and what they are. We know their thinking pattern. We know how they think. And Donald Trump is going to hurt them most of all. The health care, TPP, all he's doing is chasing Obama's executive orders. He's chasing Obama's executive orders. I'm going to repeat that. That's all he's doing. Nothing is original. Nothing is original what he's doing. He's just chasing. I think you announced the things that he's trying to erase. He cannot erase his legacy because his legacy is 8 years. He can't take the 8 years African-American president being president for 8 years. He can't erase that. His job, what he's doing now, is basically chasing Obama. Everything he's doing is chasing Obama. Immigration, again to the TPP, to the Cuban immigration, voting rights, everything he's doing, the drug with Attorney General Sessions. And one thing he's putting up in there, people that follow him, they are lawyers to him, regardless if he's wrong. They put their head down and say yes. They will not stand up. So you got a bunch of wimps in there. But they're going to have to answer to the people and the town halls. And this is like a town hall that we're doing today. This is something like a town hall. Just express your opinion, what you think is happening. And again, what's true, the Russian scandal, we know what that's all about. And he knows what it's all trails lead to the White House. Every trail leads to the White House. There's going to be the biggest scandal ever when they uncover everything. Everything will be uncovered. Everything has a trail. You just follow the money. Just follow the money. But both of the callers called in so far, that's significant. They had a significance of really what's going on. And it was truthful. The march for truth that's going on now. They didn't follow his hotels, places that he frequents, and also at the town halls. These guys don't even want to have the town halls anymore. Because they have to answer this stuff. They have to answer with lies. It's the most lying. I think the last count I had, this administration, Donald Trump, has told 526 lies. We have a lying president. Very incompetent. Very. He's just an adjective user. He's a lot of adjectives. That's all he uses. Nothing else. And believe me. Ain't nobody believing you because you said the word believe me. When you say the word truth, we know it's a lie. Anyone use those type of words to tell lies? So far, the callers have been fantastic. Like I said, I've punched with each one of them. They are basically, they are really informed. The first caller, like I said again, he hit everything. He hit every nail on the head. He didn't miss anything at all. He knows. But again, my thing is 195 countries said yes to the Paris Accord to clean the air because it's climate change. He says it's a hoax. Well, 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 we know it's not a hoax. We know that. But like I say, everything Obama did put yes on and made this country, made America great, he's making America ungreat. He's making it very ungreat. We have to make the planet great, not just America. The planet got to be great. Back to you, host.
For your perspective so far, we are talking about this whole question of Donald Trump and his presidency. How do you view it? How do you see it? If you define it, we'll stand behind it. You're going to have to call him. Call him 3330. Welcome to Mr. Page's history.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, in response to what's going on under the 45 White House, one thing I feel people need to be cognizant of is the fact that they chose him to assume this particular role so that this will enable them to be less accountable, because it's very interesting in regards to a lot of decisions he makes, especially regarding defense. There's a lot of spending and a lot of campaigns taking on all over the world that people aren't informed of or people aren't being notified about, and it seems that they knew that he would be the perfect person, because the minute you mention the word accountability, he gets irritated and says that he's accountable to those who he needs to be accountable to. But in other words, he doesn't want us to really see the institutionalized dysfunction that's going on at every turn in terms of his administration.
That's right, Carla. Carla, one other thing while I have you on the phone. Do you think by also putting him into the so-called White House, they have created more fervor for racist tendencies, not only in America, but throughout the world? You have seen the rise of racism over the world?
Absolutely. I'll give you a clear-cut example. In the state of Virginia, you recently had a protest to support Confederate statues remain in place where you had a number of angry Caucasians with torches, and we know in history when you see that there's a very clear racial meaning behind that kind of demonstration being taken place openly and publicly.
Okay, Carla, we'd like to thank you, Carla, for continuing to listen. We may come back to you later on for some additional comments. This is Missing Pages of History, and when we join today, we are in a house meeting, Donald Trump and his presidency. We'd like to have your views and your concerns as it relates to this issue of Donald Trump and how he's conducting the so-called White House as a tool for what? A tool for rich, for the 1%. or a tool to be used just for the benefit of his family, reach the family, or is it being used as a tool to help all of humanity? We definitely like to have your views and comments on this. But one of the things I would like to raise for our listeners to get them to respond to is this question about how he chooses his administration. One of the things you said, one of the persons he chose, Mr. Jeff Sessions, made a statement that he had to have a new policy, a new war on drugs. He had a new war on drug policy. I would like to know, what does that mean? What do people think about this new war on drug policy would look like? So please call in at 818-337-0016. I believe we have some particular people who want to speak to that particular issue. We're going back. Maybe you call 6029. Call 6029. Question coming. Yes, call 6029.
Yes, and in terms of the question, in terms of war on drugs?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, it's more the same. This whole question in terms of war on drugs is a bogus concept. In fact, in order to eliminate the scourge of drugs in society, then one of the things you have to do, you have to get the U.S. government, in particular, the CIA, out of the drug business. Because we all understand, and when we talk about the prohibition of drugs in society, we understand without participation of the CIA on the international level and on a local level, drugs won't be able to proliferate. So we're very clear on that. You talk to any drug dealer in this country, that without the participation of the local police, they couldn't do it. So drugs are here for a reason. There's a lot of money to be made from drugs. That's a $5 billion industry on drugs. That's sort of a conservative figure. But you talk about $5 billion of revenue and what the government have access to. So therefore, the reality is that they have no interest in terms of fighting the war on drugs because it serves so much money. But on a local level, these guys are vilified as somehow the enemies, you know, of the country. In fact, these guys are just pawns. All these guys standing in the corner selling their hearts to their cops are just pawns of the powerful. And so, therefore, the war on drugs is just simply a way in terms of legitimizing the large mass incarceration of poor people, in particular African and brown people, for the sole purpose of maintaining order and control by instilling fear in all of us who dare step outside of this. Socially acceptable in terms of our behavior. So we got to be very clear in terms of the war on drugs is a bogus concept. In fact, one of the things that when you talk about the proliferation of prisons in society, one of the things that's very clear from an economic standpoint, the more prisons you build, the less profit will become. You fill them up, but the problem is that you factor in the cost of living and the kind of services you have to provide in terms of running prisons, it simply doesn't pan out. Even though these guys have contracts with the governments are hard pressed given the overall economic situation in society to actually provide for these prisons that are being constructed to house all these people. And keep in mind also that one thing is we talk about the preservation of prisons, what they got to keep in mind. Eventually they come back out. So eventually, you know, you occur great economic costs. But as far as open power is concerned, they're not particularly concerned in terms of overall economic impact, more about control and domination, and that's what motivates them. But his war on drugs is consistent with the conservative line in terms of maintaining control at all order, at any price.
All right, thank you, Carl, for that. Call 3330. This is the war on drugs. Yes, call 3330.
In regards to Senator Sessions making that comment, we have to understand in context where Senator Sessions comes from. He is someone that comes from an area where they believe in people of color knowing their place, and they believe in people of color being inferior. So you got to understand there's a deep Senate racial sentiment when he makes this comment, because clearly he knows that when you introduce a policy like this, he knows who is going to impact the most, and that's those who are tend to be in the poor community. It's not something that he's trying to do to influence those who are responsible for bringing it in. He wants to criticize those who oftentimes are those who are addicted and using, not those who really supply to create the problems that we've seen with the influx of drugs coming into this country.
Caller, we'll go to our next caller. 8963 or 8963.
Straight through history. You have a question, comment on the presidency for the first 4 months. What'd you make of it? Yes, call 8963. Call 8963. You want to make a presidency? Okay, I guess we're going to
hear me. Hello? This is 8963.
Yes, we can hear you. Excuse me.
Okay, in my opinion, the reason what Jeff Sessions is doing is not new. What he's doing is he's going back to a policies that's been out there for many years, which is just in the last maybe 10 or 15 years that they actually started changing it. But he's just reinforcing what used to be out there in a way, because that way they can go back and they see a more financial gain if they go back to this particular policy.
Can the judge respect on this new policy on drugs, well, on drug policy? What is your... Emmanuel, can we get your perspective from
that? Oh, okay. On the war on drugs.
Yes.
This is very significant. Sessions want to basically go back to the old policy, as the caller just called in, where the time is expended. Make it 30 years for having small amount of drugs or for pushing drugs. And the other caller talked about the financial rewards. The financial rewards, they're great. They're fantastic. Incarceration. It costs $105,000 to incarcerate someone. Who benefits from that? Who's got investment in the I call it incarceration system? So what happens here? He told all the attorney general, district attorneys, to give them the most time they can give them, even for petty drugs, for nonviolent crime. You getting time for a nonviolent crime. Time to get people on Wall Street for nonviolent crime. They commit fraud, embezzlement. Again, the people of color. They want free labor in the prison system. At the moment, there are more than 100 vendors in the prison system, making from furniture to clothing to equipment, things they are making. From 18 cents to 30 cents an hour. They farming in the rural areas, prisoners farming, getting paid again 18 to 24 cents an hour. Vendors inside of the prison system, like McDonald's, Wendy's, people are in there. Sears, they inside the prison system, making sheets and pillowcases, uniforms, Reebok, they inside the prison system. That's going to be your new labor pool. People that sell drugs, they're going to go back to getting 25, 30 years for selling a nonviolent item or taking a nonviolent item and selling it, shipping it. Where does the money go? People on Wall Street who bring the drugs in. We don't have no airplanes, no ships to bring this stuff up in here. We just a small street distributor. And they're getting all of the time things from you. Just a drug dealer, you bought a nice home, nice cars. They have what they call sheriff sales and all of this. They take your house, they take your cars, they take your jewelry, take your assets in the sheriff sale. How many people go to sheriff sale? They're all over the place. In every state, every small town. Sheriffs take these things, and they buy these things. The lawyers, the judges, they take these things from them. That's collateral. The collateral damage from the prison system is enormous. And again, that's all the way sometimes we can make any kind of money, decent money. They're not going to raise the wages. They're not going to train you. They're not going to do this or that. They're not going to promote you. Things they're not going to do. So you can make money. Live like they live. So this is what it's all about. We push your drug. We get a nice car. They know where you're working at. Your IRS is not filing taxes. So you tell on yourself. Your car and your house, tell on yourself. Small businesses like barbershops, salons, nice cars, you file taxes. You say you're only making 20 grand a year. How can you have Mercedes Benz making 20 grand a year and have a home making $20,000 a year? You tell on yourself. This is what they're doing. This is what they're doing to you. They're taking your salary. Anybody got to tell on you. Your taxes tell on you. When you own a small business and you're making this kind of money and living large, you're filing taxes again, $18,000, $19,000. You can't pay mortgage off of that one or buy an automobile. So this is what they're doing. People, you're telling on yourself. So we got to get more informed. We need more town halls in different places, venues we can get in, like the churches, church basements, Boys and Girls Club, or public-type halls we got to get in and explain to the people, as a race of people, that we know are being denied, being discriminated against wholly at all given times. You're a black man in America. Stand who you are. This country was not built for you. You built the country, but it wasn't built for you. Native Americans discovered the country. It's their country. And they cannot take their country back. So we need to say, take your country back. And we need to chant, lock him up. We need to lock Mr. Donald Trump up. All the things he has done. From having a university that was not accredited, that was fraud. He paid $25 million, and it's over. See, we can't pay $25 million, and it's over. They're gonna lock you up. Anytime. Look at the mayor of Detroit. But this is what they do. This is what they do. Justice means just us. We are the profit margin of America in the incarceration system. I've been in some prison systems that guys have penthouses in there. They live like a king up in there. I've seen it. So as you say, as I say, and as we say, we have to organize, but we need money to organize. You cannot have an organization without money. It doesn't work. You don't have any money. You can march all you want to march. Organize all you want to organize if you don't have any money. It doesn't work. It's very simple. Not in the capitalistic system, it doesn't work. See, capitalism benefits off of labor, basically. But everybody understand what I'm saying, that capitalism does not work without cheap labor. Where are you getting the cheap labor force from? Back to you, host.
On that note, Emmanuel, pause for extension break. If you're listening on this, we got some big questions we'd like to hear your response to when we come back. We'll come back and make some announcements. And we will continue the discussion on Donald Trump and the presidency. We'll be right back. This is to welcome you back to Missing Pages of History, and all I want to say is capitalism don't care about you, even if you had Donald Trump in the White House. We welcome you back. We'll continue discussion on Donald Trump and the presidency. But before we do this, Missing Pages of History has some announcements. I want to share with you some exciting things that are coming up on the Missing Pages of History. You may go to our memo, go to Susie. Susie, welcome to Missing Pages of History. Are you there, Susie? Okay, we'll come back to Susie. She will come
back.
Hello,
can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hi, good evening, everyone. Okay, the events that is coming up for Missing Pages of History, which is always continuous. We have a MPH radio program, which is always on Saturdays biweekly, which the next one will be June the 10th, and June the 24th will follow. And also we have our ongoing MPH T-shirt and cap drive for the summer. You can place your orders by emailing us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. And also, we have our ongoing raffle, which the next raffle will be Saturday, July the 15th. And you can call us or email us to receive your tickets. And last and finally, in September, we will have our MPH TV show, which will be on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 at Comcast Channel 95 and also Fios Channel 36. And the first one, and this will be a weekly program, and it starts on September the 13th, 2017. And that's everything that's going on with Missing Pages in History, and we always welcome any donations. Thank you.
Thanks. We got another quarter record run on July 15th. So, if you can do so, contact one of our members. For more information, always go down to www.mphc.org. We want to go back to this audience. We have a dialogue over the text on Donald Trump and the president. This is my question to the audience, and we also like to get Mary's weigh in on this question. Is Donald Trump really a representation for the crisis that the capitalist system is facing? And I'd like to call the number 6029 and start it off. Is Donald Trump and his presidency is really a representation of the crisis that capitalism is facing at this stage? Call the 6029. Is Donald Trump and his presidency is really a representation of the crisis that capitalism is under right now?
Yeah, I think it is. I think this brand of leadership was needed. I mean, one of the things when you talk about crisis, you're talking about a certain amount of instability. So in order to fight against that instability, you need more repression, more violence, more state violence in terms of maintaining control. So who better than to maintain a death spiral on the population than Donald Trump? Donald Trump is very good in terms of being attentive to the needs of the people, and as such, very responsive to the idea in terms of actually using force to keep people in that place. So I think Donald Trump is an excellent example in terms of why the power structure needed him in the position that he's currently holds. So I think I'm going to say this in terms of when we talk about the destruction of the economy, clear. You got a situation now where, when you talk about wealth is not what we historically understand wealth to be, or wealth creation. Wealth now is more a situation where corporations are actually taking their stocks, selling them in, and to make it look like on their balance sheets, to make it look like somehow that they're making lots and lots of money. So what happened is happening on a wholesale, on a large level in terms of corporate financing. So the question in terms of growth is something that the capitalists realize that given the state of capitalism, you can't have real growth, and so they're comfortable with that. And so now we're relegated to a situation where a lot of games are being perpetuated, but they understand the instability, and so therefore, forced all the way to maintain control. So I think Donald Trump is an excellent servant in terms of being in position or terms of mentality to actually, you know, utilize force in terms of keeping people in place alongside, you know, espousing racism. So I think, yes, I think he epitomizes, you know, just how precarious this system is. So I think you're right.
Okay, let's go to caller 330. No response to the question. Caller 330. Is Donald Trump as a president the representation of the crisis of the state of capitalism? Caller 330. What was your response?
I concur with my brother's sentiment, and I would like to add that when you look at the instability, dysfunctionality, and the fact that you have some of his co-conspirators jumping ship, it is clear that it is the epitome of a representation of this crisis, because you're talking about a situation where now it's not even about, not only is it about taking as much money as you can from the people, but it's also about what do I need to do to protect my own interests, even if it means stabbing somebody else in the back. Because you notice there's a lot of collusion, a lot of secret decisions being made. It's all for individual interests and not a collective interest. So the only thing that ties them together is that the fact that when this ship goes down, all of them can be possibly indicted.
Thank you very much, caller. Let's go to caller 4298. Caller 4298. Question.
Yes. I think Donald Trump, you know, domestic policy and foreign policy are one and the same. When we look at his support for law and order and the boasts of the police and not have the police be held accountable for these shootings in terms of Black Lives Matter, et cetera. You know, Donald Trump is coming out on the side of the police, and in foreign policy, he's embraced every dictator, every thug that is in power that's shooting and killing their people, especially the drug war thing where they just down in South America, they're killing people over this drug situation. And Donald Trump has embraced them. And so, you know, he's obviously callous and insensitive to the needs of poor and working class people. And that's his main thing. He's just pro-big business, pro-corporation, pro-profit drive, at the expense of people and caring about people and any regulations that would help alleviate some of the suffering of the people at the expense of the profit he's against. Thank you.
Thank you, Claudia. Let's go to Emmanuel. We'd like to hear your answer to this question. Do you think Donald Trump and his presidency is a reflection of the crisis of capitalism at this stage? What is your take on that question?
Well, what is he doing? He's looting. It's a looting machine called capitalism. That's what it is. Capitalism is a looting machine. Well, how does it loot? So I've come to the conclusion that capitalism is very successful, primarily because of what things? Because it can impose the majority of the cost associated with its economic activities on outside parties and on the environment. And that's what he's doing. He's challenging both the environment, talking about regulations. He also challenges the outside parties like the Koch brothers, again, the 1%. That's the outside party, the 1%. And he's going to make sure that the environment, he don't care about your health. All this, the Paris Accord sort of showed you that. He don't want the planet to be safe. He wants to make money in America breathing coal, breathing cancer. This is what he wants. In other words, capitalists make profits because their costs are externalized. So the external cost of capitalism is borne by others. See, what happens here is that external cost, that, what is that cost to make capitalism successful? Who actually taking that cost? Who are the other parties? Incarceration system. They're the other parties. Who do you think are the biggest investors there in private prisons? Wall Street. Who do you think inside the prisons now? It's like a business now. That's what it is. Because businesses are running the prison system. Another part of the looting machine called capitalism. I want to do a show on that. Capitalism, the looting. That's the part I think we understand when I talk about that. Capitalism, it serves the general welfare. And what I'm talking about is people, again, who's making money. They channel that money to offshore banks. They channel that money into the system where they create these enclaves like the Beverly Hills, the Bel Airs of the world, the Palm Beaches of the world, the Boca Ratons of the world. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about these rich enclaves where people become untouchable. Regardless of the crime they do, it's untouchable. And you make sure that you punish the ones and the ones you know that can be easily punished, and you can be compensated for their punishment. So again, look who makes the money in the prison system. The Verizon of the world, the Sprint of the world, which is $12 for 3 minutes in some prisons. $12 for 3 minutes. Who is? They don't care if you get a prison out here. The McDonald's of the world. There's no dollar hamburger in prison. So, how capitalism is doing it. And Donald Trump has people have it. And how we got to destroy. So, but the callers, they were very significant. They were on point. The callers made some very, very, very observations of what's going on with Donald Trump's first 4 months in office. Like I say again, the first caller, he hit all the nails on the head. He didn't bend one nail. This is exactly what's going on in this country. The crisis again. You're trying to destroy what Obama has done, made this America great again. Trying to get us out of wars so people can try to raise the wages. All the things you're trying to clean the air up so you don't be so sick. They want you sick. See, you got two types of drugs. I think you know who they are. So, one of them run the country. And this is what they're doing. They're making sure that they make black people sick. Go in the hospital, look who's in there according to the population. We're 70% of the patients go to the hospital or go to clinics. We're 70%. And we're 12% of the population. Look at the prison system. We're 72% of the prison system. And get 7.5 years longer than anyone else. But the same crime. Go in the courthouse and see who's down there. Go in the prison and see who's there. Go in the hospital and see who's there. Those three things we are. We got a 1/4 thing we are. It's called the church. We're there. A lot of our youth are not there because they're in prison. They're going to make sure they stay for a long time. You come out, you can't get a job. You can't vote in most states, basically, after a certain amount of time. So all these things is cutting at you because you are the profit margin of America. They want to cut the profit off, but they want to make sure they sustain the profit. And like one caller said, he sort of basically cheers on dictators. He cheers on killing. He cheers on crises. He likes scandals. So that's a distraction to what's going on. You know what's going up underneath you, the scandals. Look at all the building stuff that's going up. Who are doing these things in your neighborhood? Who are doing all the building? You aren't doing any of it. You're doing the labor, but you don't own none of these businesses. This is where we got to get organized and make sure we get some of these businesses. But in closing, we're going to going to talk about the looting machine called capitalism. That's probably our next topic we get back on the agenda. That's going to be something you need to study a little bit about. I'm studying it now. I've written articles on it already. The looting machine called capitalism. I'm going to put it in its perspective, exactly what it does and how you can identify it and be associated with it and be a part of it. This is what it's all about, ownership. Capitalism is who owns the ruling class. We got to become part of the ruling class. Back to you, host. Thank you.
And on that note, that was a good way of conversation of closing out. As we discussed today, Donald Trump and the presidency in the first 4 months. We'll be back next week at 1 p.m. Continue clearing our missing pages of history. As we said earlier, please go to our website at www.mphi.org. We have more information on upcoming activities. We want to remind you that remember, we must continue to clear our missing pages of history. This is the passage to our future. To us being saved as a people. Until next time, always strive to go forward. We'll hear you with the talk at the top. Peter Tosh. You must get up and stand up. It's always our right. We thank you for watching and listening to Rages.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight. You can't.